Hello everyone. I decided to freestyle entire episodes off the top of my head as much as possible, not out of any kind of insecurity, but because the episodes are the most heartfelt that way. I'll use the dictionary here and there, but I need to make sure that my episodes have the most honesty and originality coming from me. I've been honest and original to the best of my ability in other episodes, but I'm giving you more originality from me and more honesty from each episode. And the best way I can do that is if I speak in this kind of manner, because you know, okay, this is truly from the heart. And my episodes, other episodes have been done from the heart, but it's most from the heart this way. Here we go. So if you hear me slow down often and I pause more and I no longer use filler words to get my thinking together, then you know for certain that this is strictly off the dome. Let's get to the topic at hand, shall we? When I was thinking about my own childhood, I envisioned how when I was a 5-year-old little black boy in the late 1990s in Washington, D.C., not far from downtown Washington, D.C., where I lived at that moment in time, I come to recognize that I was taught to see women as collages, as gimmicks, as pet projects, as items on a shelf, as luggage, as baggage, as chattel, as animals, as property, as things, as materialism, because of how my mother's brother treated women in all those kinds of ways. I never condoned any of those ways of seeing and treating women, never have and never will. But women would come in and out of my mother's apartment because of him, because of his sexual escapades, his sexual exploits. And he would compete with me in terms of who could have the most women in the name of sex. Even though, because I'm 5 years old, it's pedophilic rape, it's child sexual molestation, it's child sexual assault. He viewed it as I was consenting with the women, even though 5 years old is way below the age of consent laws in most places around the world. It should be all places around the world, actually. So, he believed that the genitalia of women would cure me of my autism, but he didn't call it autism. He called it, okay. I had to stop myself from using filler words. I just caught myself. He called it every disability slur that you can think of. I refuse to say any of them because we all know what every disability slur out there is. He used all those words to describe my autism. And he felt that I quote unquote needed naked, see, I'm catching myself with the filler words. He felt that I needed to have nude adult female bodies in their entirety to make me neurotypical, but he did not say the word neurotypical. He called it making me a regular red-blooded man. In his mind, real men don't have disabilities. In his mind, real men don't have any kind of disabilities. In his mind, well, if you have learning disabilities label, or the physical disabilities label, or the mental disabilities label, you're not a real man. Even though he used to walk around in crutches because of a motorcycle accident, he had a rod in his leg as a result of it. Even though he would get disability checks, Social Security income for his disability, even though he would limp walk as he would move around. Self-hatred projection and self-hatred deflection are two of the countless pure evil traits of him. He was insanely jealous of me, that may be an understatement, of the fact that women would come in and out of the apartment, but they would rape me more than have sex with him. And one can argue that if you are adults doing anything sexual in front of a child, then technically that's a form of rape when it comes to the presence of a child. And one could argue, actually, because there was rape culture in my mother's apartment, that maybe he never had any consensual sex with any of the women, especially knowing that there's a child living there, there's a child there, and because he's a male misogynist, and the women felt that they didn't really truly have a choice, even if they acted like they did, one could argue that he raped all of them. And I refuse to have any rebuttal for these arguments because we're talking about the beauty of empathy. When I think about what happened to me growing up, my mother's brother was womanizing out of greed, out of vanity, out of vainglory, out of gluttony, out of wrath, out of anger, out of envy, out of jealousy. Out of sloth. Out of the pride of life. Out of lust of the eyes, out of lust of the flesh. When I say lust, I'm talking about animalistic lust, not wholesome lust. When I talk about pride, I'm not talking about healthy self-esteem. I'm talking about arrogance. When I say the word sloth, I mean laziness internally and laziness externally. So he was the violent, abusive type of womanizer. I never saw him use protection. When he was sexual with women, totally unprotected. No birth control methods at all whatsoever. So I'll tell you this. I saw him cheat on every woman that he agreed to be monogamous with. That's one of the big reasons why I was the male concubine of married women in my sexual past. And that's why I was of male concubinage to the wives of husbands as an undergraduate in my collegiate years. Concubinage is the ancient definition of being a paramour, a living lover, a side piece. I was those things to adult female spouses back then. And when you see infidelity culture, cheating culture, not just in organized crime outside of the mother's apartment that I can't even call home, but inside of my mother's apartment that I still can't call home, was organized crime because of him. So I had no freedom from organized crime in my mother's apartment, out my mother's apartment, right? And I can't really call my mother's apartment because he pretty much ran the place. When you have a felonious demon who has the anything pure evil goes psychology, that's not hers. Because he took it and made it his. And I do not enjoy saying anything I'm saying, but when you give monsters full reign. She never knew these things happened at the time. She, in her mind, I'm just trying to help my brother out because he got injured in a motorcycle accident. When you have the attitude of, oh, he's just trying to help y'all. Because in her mind, he looked like he cared for y'all. He looked like he loved y'all. She never knew any of the evil that happened. She never knew any of the pure evil that was going on. When you help out somebody that you know already has a criminal record, petty crimes, theft-related crimes, constantly bailed out by his parents, who are also my mother's parents. They have the same parents. The issue with that is you basically give what's yours to a devil like him, which means that it's no longer yours, it's completely his. And even if the materialism is in your name, the decisions he makes when you're not around, it's as if it's in his name. So when I look at what happened at the time, I really had to learn that many people are in a similar position as I, abusively speaking. I thought about how he was womanizing out of self-neglect. He was womanizing out of self-hatred. He was womanizing out of emptiness. He was womanizing out of loneliness. He was womanizing out of discouragement. He was womanizing out of sadness. He was womanizing out of frustration. He was womanizing out of irritation. He was womanizing out of disappointment. He was womanizing because he believed himself to be physically ugly and ugly inside. He was womanizing out of, it's women's jobs to love me for me, even though I refuse to love myself. That was his mentality. He was womanizing out of I have to adhere to toxic masculinity. I have to adhere to hypermasculinity because I confuse and conflate these concepts with healthy masculinity and wholesome maleness. He was womanizing out of self-harm. He was womanizing out of self-abuse. He was womanizing out of self-abasement. He was womanizing out of self-destructive behavior. He was womanizing out of self-rejection. He was womanizing out of self-endangerment. He was womanizing out of treating himself as a charity case. He was womanizing out of a sense of pickpocketing and panhandling. He was womanizing out of fear. He was womanizing out of shame. He was womanizing out of guilt. He was womanizing out of worry. He was womanizing out of psychological chronic stress. He was womanizing out of duress. He was womanizing out of bitterness. He was womanizing out of ferocity. He was womanizing out of grief. He was womanizing out of woe. He was womanizing out of sorrow. He was womanizing out of malice as well. He was womanizing out of unforgiveness. He was womanizing due to his hard heart. He was womanizing out of a lack of self-control, a lack of self-discipline, a lack of emotional stability, a lack of mind regulation, an inability and an incapability of women reverence, and he was unable to be content with being physically alone. So he sought misogyny to fill his vacuums. He sought sexism to fill his vacuums. He sought chauvinism to fill his vacuums. He sought bravado to fill his vacuums. He sought machismo to fill his vacuums. He sought heteronormativity to fill his vacuums. He sought heterosexism to fill his vacuums. He sought amatornormativity to fill his vacuums. He sought cisnormativity to fill his vacuums. He sought cissexism to fill his vacuums. He sought psychological manipulation to fill his vacuums. He sought love bombing, ingratiating, gaslighting. To fill his vacuums. So, I'm going to explain to you how this relates to even more the womanizing I was doing back then. I was in and out of women's homes because women were in and out of my mother's apartment. I had too much sex with too many women. Because my mother's brother had too much sex with too many women. I had a social life with women as if there's no tomorrow, because that's how my mother's brother conducted himself when it came to the women he socialized with. For the most part, I was womanizing out of pain, because he was completely womanizing out of 100% pain. I say mostly because the way I went about womanizing was mostly different than how he did it. I was never violent. I was never abusive. I was never a traumatizer. I never yelled at a woman. I never laid hands on a woman. I never argued with a woman. I never had heated arguments with a woman. I never called a woman out of her name in terms of all the misogynist and slurs you could think of. I never lied to women about being with other women. He did all these things that I never did. And I was genuinely nice to women. At the time, I felt like, for all the right reasons. Even though some of my reasons were trauma-inspired, trauma-centered, I always tried my very best to be kind to women, verbally, not verbally, for all the right reasons, even in the midst of not knowing how to fully go about appropriate dynamics with women. I was never taught it. It was most of my wisdom regarding women comes from falling on my face, metaphorically, in layman's terms, trial and error. My grandma did the best she could, but I'd spent very little time with her. So life experiences, in terms of the brutal ones, was how I have most of my gentle, manly comprehension of women. Yes, my nature helps tremendously, but in terms of knowing, okay, this is how women should be talked to, not talked to, this is how you physically behave around women, this is how you not physically behave around women, and here are the social cues of women, here are the proper ways of perceiving and treating women. Mostly, I had to learn those things on my own. I had to learn how to treat women on my own for the most part. And I can honestly admit that I never intentionally tried to be a side piece of a married woman. I'm going to speak more on this right now so people won't think, oh, Antonio's a male pig masquerading as a champion of women. No. There were a lot of times I tried my best to be a non-libidoist. I tried my best to be celibate. I tried my best to be abstinent. I tried my best to be sex repulsed. I tried my best to be sex neutral. I tried my best to be sex indifferent. I tried my best to be sex adverse. I wasn't always having sex. There were times I was trying my best to stay away from all women. Well, being an undergraduate at that time, that's impossible. But when I had women classmates, I tried my best not to sit next to them. I tried my best at lunchtime to eat away from them. And hanging out with them, I tried my best not to. It's college, so I was never successful in any of these things, but I tried to not be around any woman. Even my women teachers, I would try to, if they taught a class, sit as far away from them as I possibly could. Now, I was never successful in these things, but I did not feel worthy of being in the presence of a woman. I did not feel worthy of making eye contact with women. I did not feel worthy of a woman looking in my direction. I did not feel worthy of a woman speaking with me. I did not feel worthy of a woman being around me. So I was desperately trying to stop the womanizing that I was doing because of trauma, because of compound trauma, because of trauma triggers, because of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, because of flashbacks. So at that time, I was, even outside of school, I was trying my best to leave women alone. I was really working hard to, if I have to interact with a woman, I have to keep it cordial. But I can't have prolonged interactions because the sex is going to happen and more and more women are going to come to me, which means more sex is going to happen because more and more women again. And I said to myself, I don't want to be a male who thinks with his penis. So there were times where if a woman texted me, I tried my best not to answer. If she called me, I tried my best not to pick up. Or if they called me, I would say, I don't think it's good for us to talk. You know, I'm trying my best not to have any sex or date anybody. Or if they text me, I would say, I just want to be monogamous. I don't want to move around like I've been doing with the women. The women never accepted it. So I tried my best not to return phone calls, not to return text messages, not to return any kind of video chatting. You know, like Skype at the time and, you know, trying to video chat on the phone. I tried my best to ignore it, but the women were having it. So because they would not take no for an answer, I would video chat them. I would talk to them on the phone. I would text them and end up having sex with them and going out with them. And I was trying so hard not to get hard erection. I was trying so hard not to masturbate. I was trying so hard not to look at porn. I was trying so hard not to check out women that were attractive in terms of disposition and exterior. I was trying so hard not to be bothered with women because I did not feel good about myself regarding women. And yes, it was a form of self-misandry. And yes, it was unintentional misogyny. And even the self-misandry was unintentional too. But I was trying my best to be the kind of chivalrous gentleman that was the standard of how I was taught, by church, how a man should be. I was trying my best to wait until marriage to have sex. I was trying my best to obliterate my libido. I was trying my best to make myself totally asexual, meaning no sexual feelings ever. I was trying to make myself be totally aromantic, no romantic feelings ever. There were times where I would not talk to women. I was about to use filler words. I was trying my best not to talk to women. There were times where I didn't even talk to women. In terms of the weekends, I was doing my best to eat at the chopping block and be at home. I was never successful because even though I was doing my best not to be found by women, I wasn't always in my dorm because that's sometimes how they met me, and either to pick me up or to go on a walk with me or to have me drive with them, or they would meet me somewhere in Leesburg and that's how they would pick me up and take me from there, in their cars. I tried my best to keep women from following me. I would change routes and directions in terms of walking. I wouldn't go the same places the same ways. I would go to different places in ways that I didn't even tell the women. But they were always following me. At the time, I didn't know. But they always would find me. And there are times where I politely told them to stop following me. I don't want to fornicate anymore. I don't want to be with a bunch of women anymore. I want to be a one-woman man. Right now, I want to be celibate. And I told them the truth. And I said, I want to get myself together. I want to deal with some hurts. I just want to heal. And I would tell them, I respect you. I care about you. I just don't want to hurt you. And I don't want to hurt anymore. Did the women ever accept any of these heartfelt statements from me? They never did. And I politely told them that I want to change my behavior. I want to change my ways. I need you to let me change because I'm letting myself change. And if you let me change, I can treat you much better. I can be kinder, much kinder to you. I can treat you more of an alignment of how women should be treated. Did they ever accept any of these? These heartfelt statements coming from me? No. That's why the womanizing continued. That's why the sex continued. That's why the women kept increasing, which means the sex kept increasing. These things continued. I'm not bragging about these things, but I wanted to give you a full story of how I was raised and what happened to me. Sometimes I would block women's numbers and contact information, but that would cause them to follow me around even more. They would tell me, "I've been trying to get a hold of you. Why aren't you talking to me?" And I told them, "Honestly, I'm blocking your information not because you're problematic, but because I'm not being myself. Running through ladies and going on about my business, it's just not me. And the whole mentality of just sharing women, and the whole mentality of women just sharing me, this has to stop. And I'm not being fully into chivalry by I keep doing this. And I told him, I appreciate y'all having feelings for me, y'all wanting me, liking me, loving me. At the same time, I want to slow down. I'm living too fast. I got to heal. Did the women ever accept any of these heartfelt statements from me? No. Which means the sexual deportment and this self-destruction regarding sex, even women, continued. I also say this about my sexual past, too. When it came to women, and I would, I did tell them that, can we be just friends? I need to learn how to be friends with a woman, because all this sex and having a lot of women is starting to make me have regret and remorse. But they never accepted it, because in their minds, he don't cause me any problems, and I don't like the idea of me causing you problems. And they're like, I'm not causing you problems. In their mind, they truly believe they were helping me heal. They're like, well, I share my body with you because you're not a male pig. And I at times told them, I'm sorry for blocking them, or not telling you, for changing routes and directions where I walk, and not tell you, for changing how I go about places, for going different places, but not the same ways. I said I'm sorry. I just wanted to have your respect. And they say, And Tony, you've always had it and you always will. And I told them that I'm not rejecting you, but I just want you to really understand that. And I said, I'm not belittling your intelligence at all. You already know I never would. And they strongly agreed, as if they don't have to explain it. I get you. And then I said, well, I don't want to be just another guy to you. And they said that you'll never be that. You've never been that. And they said, we shouldn't stop what we're doing. And they said, I'm not going to ever leave you alone. I'm never going to let you go. There's nothing that could be said or done to change that. When I'm around you, when we're alone, we're going to keep having sex. And we're going to keep going out. And we're going to keep being in each other's presence. And there's no ands, ifs, or buts about that. That's what all the women told me. So after a while, I stopped trying, because in my mind, I was assertive, but I was respectful. And they stopped allowing me to apologize to them. They're like, you never hurt me. You're never causing me pain. So don't apologize anymore. Nothing you say or do is intentional in terms of cutting me. So they said, so I just gave up and just kept doing what I was doing, not because I never tried to stop my behavior, but when you have women who don't feel like there's anything wrong, in my mind, I'm like, what can I do? I've exhausted every option in my mind. I didn't know how to tell a trained professional these things. When I got to therapy, I explained, and I was able to really get many things out. And couldn't get everything out because therapy has a limited amount of time. They have other clients. But and when I graduated from college, I started having these conversations with trained professionals. But I caught myself with the filler words. At the time in college, didn't know how to talk about these issues. So I dare say that many people would ask me, Antonio, let's say you became a parent biologically or non-biologically, and one of your sons was womanizing, what would you do? I would first make sure that none of the traumas of my life belong or ever transferred to him. So what I would do is make sure we get counseling to make sure that this is not because of any kind of trauma complexes, because I know that's occurred to me. So I would make sure that I'm keeping him from experiencing what I was unprotected from. And so many people say, but what if your son was womanizing, but there were no trauma complexes? How would you respond? I would tell him, first, I would have already made sure that respecting women is a requirement. It's not optional. It's mandated. You have to revere women. There's no getting out of that. There's no loopholing that. Respecting women is inevitable. And then I would tell him about, make sure that you understand the dangers of sexual narcissism, the dangers of sexual psychopathy, the dangers of sexual sociopathy. I would tell him, watch out for the honey traps. Watch out for sex espionage. Watch out for digital sex crimes, revenge porn, sexting, sextortion, and wiretapping. I would tell him, watch out for femme fatales. I would explain to him all the types of infidelity that exist, and to watch out for all kinds of infidelity. I would tell him to, the importance of sex in moderation, whether it's in moderation, whether it's in monogamy or ethical non-monogamy, right? I would also tell him the value of birth control and being open to all the birth control methods that exist. I would tell him the importance of being a sensitive, hospitable lover. I would tell him the importance of integrity, truth. I would tell him to watch out for sexual psychosis and to watch out for sexual personality disorders. I would tell him to watch out for sexual mood disorders, watch out for sexual psychotic disorders. I would tell him womanizing means he's a grown man. I like, okay, if you're going to move like that, understand that there are women who have expectations. So if they expect for you to make a commitment, then make sure you're not heartbreaking. I would tell them, make sure you and the women are totally upfront with each other about how things are going to be between y'all. Be respectful. Don't be insensitive. Always be sensitive and sensitized to women. Don't never be desensitized to a woman. Never be insensitive to a woman. And because he's a grown man, I can't stop a grown man from doing what a grown man's decided to do. I would just tell him, don't make it easy for yourself or anybody else to catch diseases and infections. I would say, don't treat women as a conquest, and don't treat women as a contest. I would say, keep your sex drive at moderate levels. Not too high, but also don't pretend that you don't have an interest in sex. Make sure your interest in sex and women come from inner beauty complexes instead of compound trauma complexes. And I would tell him, are these the kind of women that don't mind having you as the good man that they all healthily share? I would say, are these the type of women that they can get a good man of their own individually, each of them, but they're into just having you, and there's no trauma complexes on their part either? I would say, hey, be responsible, because I would tell them to be accountable. I would tell them, Have a healthy sense of your own masculinity and maleness. I was saying your interactions with women, I would tell him. Don't curse each other out. Don't call each other names. Don't yell at each other. No, don't put hands on each other. Don't fight each other. I would say no child support issues, no paternity test, paternity suit issues. I would tell him don't say or do anything that resembles tabloid talk shows when it comes to you and women. Like, no two timing, and make sure the women that you're with are safe and sane, and you be safe and sane yourself. Now, many people would get mad. They're like, you're encouraging us to womanize. No, I'm not. I'm talking about me as a grown man talking to, if I had a son that's a grown man. I'm just, because a grown man's going to say, hey, this is what I want to do. I would say, here are the stipulations. Because when it's one thing to talk to a child, it's totally different than to talk to a grown man. Because as a child, I would never talk to him about womanizing because he's a child. But as an adult, I gotta talk about it. And I'm the type of person that I don't control people's private lives. I just give them healthy caution, healthy precaution in terms of deciding whatever it is they're gonna do. Just say, hey, these are things you gotta look out for. I would teach my son how to be a gentleman. I would teach him the differences. This is when he's of age. I would teach differences between ethical erotica, unethical erotica, ethical porn, unethical porn. I would teach him that he doesn't have to try to have sex with as many women as he possibly can. I would say no, that's no, because that is the most common form of sexual chaotic calamitous catastrophes. I would say you don't have to do that. I would say it's okay to be gradual with women. Take your time with women. And I would also tell him that learn from what happened to your father. And I would not pressure him to be monogamous. I wouldn't pressure him to be non-monogamous. I just want my son to be true to himself. I would say, I'm speaking to him if he were heterosexual. If he were LGBTQI+, I would still say the same things. I would just use whatever communities that he finds attractive. Let's say he could be bisexual. I would tell him the same things. I would just add men and women. If he's gay, I would just say, hey, when it comes to men, I would say the same things. I would just say men instead of women. Whatever how his biology works, that's who the groups of people, meaning adults. When I say people, I say adults. That's how I would go about whatever group of adults he's attracted to. I would put their specified identifications in whatever these contexts I'm talking about. So I would also help him to understand that it's always good to get mental health checkups. It's always good to go to trained professionals. It's always good to get psychiatric medication if you need it. And it's always good to have, you know, I would say, son, if you're gonna have more than one woman, make sure they have healthy self-esteem. Make sure you got it too. make sure they're quality women, and make sure you're quality of a man yourself. I would make sure that the womanizing is not because of what happened to me, not because of a warped sense of being a man, and not because of peer pressure, not because of my mom's brother, not because of any kind of indoctrination nor dogmatism. It would have to be totally independent of trauma for me to go, okay, if you're going to move in that direction, here are the logical conditions for this direction of yours for me to feel inner peace about. Remember, my son would be of age. If I had a daughter, many people say, would you say the same things? Yes, because I don't believe in treating a woman differently than a man. So if I had a if I had children of age, regardless of their gender identities or gender self-identification, I would say, this is your sexuality that you're telling me about. Here are the, like I said, if I said logical conditions to my son, I would say to my daughter, I would say to my non-binary of age child, I would say, in order for me not to live in worry, here are the ways you're going to need to go about having more than one of age partner in your life. I would say the same thing to all of them. I would tell them to honor sex and the law. I would tell them, we're going to do sex work or pay for or receive sexual services, make sure it's in parts of the world where it's actually legal, and don't bankrupt yourself. If you can help it, get you a discount. I would tell them, you're not being forced to have more than one partner. You're not forced to do sex work or participate in sex work in any kind of way. You're not forced to do any of these things. Everything has to be voluntary. And I would make sure that they understand to not allow one's sexual past to imprison them. Allegorically speaking, I would say that I would tell them, if they're going to move in these directions their mind is made up, I would say, this is how it should go. And I wouldn't tell them my whole past all at once. I would, as they get older, I would spoonful more each and every time, but I wouldn't scar them. I would just say, hey, this is what happened to me, and learn from these things. And I would tell them, background check if you can help it, so you won't be in a TV series snapped type of circumstances. I would try my best to avoid erotica in the past. I was never successful because women were like, come on, let's have our erotica fun. I tried my best not to search sex at all, but the women were like, come on, let's do sex search results to learn some fun sex facts and sex trivia. And I can honestly say overcame all these trauma complexes. With that being said, thank you kindly for letting me share.